Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We're so blessed that you can join us. And if you do me a favor, go down below and subscribe to the podcast so you can stay notified of whenever new ones come about that are being published. Leave a comment below. All these things help us grow. Amen. Now, today is part two of our two-part interview with John Meacham. John is a Christian author, been in the ministry for different facets of ministry for several years, and part of his travels, he went to the Sea of Galilee back in 2005, spent 8 days there, and he received a revelation from Jesus concerning the modern church. And we've been talking about that. If you missed any of the preceding episodes, go back, look them up. 411, 412, 435, 436, 443, 444, 448, and then this episode here. And we've been talking about demonstrating a living faith. Now, for the conclusion of today's interview, here's John Meacham.
Whoever, for the glory of maintaining these wonderful places in Galilee, because if it wasn't for the Catholic Church, they wouldn't be there. Right. Mm-hmm. They've built this really wonderful little chapel. And the day I went up there, and this is a line out of one of my books. It was another glorious day in Galilee. I mean, you were walking through the steps where Jesus had walked. You looked down on the sea and the breeze, and it just took my breath away. But I walk up to this little chapel, and I go inside. Pastor Bob, I was overwhelmed with the cleanliness and the immaculate design of this chapel. I was going to try to remember the architect's name, Belus, I think it was, Antonio Belus or something like that. But anybody want to see these places, BibleWalks.com has all these sites, and it's beautiful. But I looked up into the ceiling, and it has eight stained glass windows with the Beatitudes written in Latin. And, oh, I was just literally overwhelmed. Well, they have these little prayer benches right there where you can drop to your knees and your arms rest on the bench. Well, I dropped to my knees. My arms are on the bench. And Pastor Bob, I looked down on the floor right in front of me, and there was a paper bag. I thought, oh, my goodness, I got to get that trash out of here. So I picked up the paper bag, and I looked on it, and Pastor Bob, Jesus had written me a sermon title with scripture verses. I'm sitting here looking at the bag right now. Obviously, I brought it home with it. I save it in my memory Bible that has all these divine revelations in it. And the sermon title is Open Doors.
Yeah.
Jesus wants the doors of the church open to him again.
Amen.
So that he can come in and fill it with the Holy Spirit. And the two passages that are on the paper are Ezekiel 7:12 and Isaiah 29. And if you don't mind, I'd like to divert from the sermon a little bit on the website and spend some time with these passages, because these are very, very important passages, not only in and of themselves, but we have to realize Jesus has sent these passages to us. Whoever's listening to this podcast, you just heard that Jesus is wanting us to understand these passages.
Amen.
Well, you and I both know how much Ezekiel means to us.
Yes,
I mean, we're both Ezekiel guys out there preaching in the world.
It's one of my favorite
whether they
books.
Like it or not, we're still telling the story.
That's right.
Well, Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 12 is an alarming verse, but it speaks a lot to what you're concerned with here recently. The time is coming, the day is near, when buying and selling will have no more meaning, because God's punishment will fall on everyone alike. Hmm. Pastor Bob, that is a message to America.
Yep. Amen.
Because America is no longer a Christian nation. Nope. America, I'm not even sure it's a democratic nation anymore, but America is a nation of capitalism based on buying and selling and the sin of greed that fuels this capitalism. I don't mind, I hope you won't mind, but you sent me an alarming message that you got from God to the people of this time.
Yep.
And if you don't mind, I'd like for you to share a few thoughts from that message you got from God to deliver to the people of today.
Well, I'll just summarize it real quick. Basically, the when I was just doing my prayer time and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and just this sense of righteous judgment, I guess you could say, that God said, okay, time's up. You know, you've had the warnings, you failed to heed the warnings, and now you're going to start to see the judgments fall on America because you've turned your back on me, you've rejected me, you're promoting everything I said don't do and that I call an abomination. You call that normal and endorse it, and not just endorse it. You try to stifle anyone who talks against it and lifts up the Word of God. You're trying to stifle those messages. I'm done with it. And, you know, America has had a hedge of protection around it. I've said before that when 9/11 2001 happened, I was preaching that following Sunday in church, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me while I was delivering a message, said God temporarily lowered the hedge of protection in order to get our attention. Whether or not America continues or not, and the way we have been, will be how we react to it. Well, initially, you know, you had Congress, you know, praying out on the steps of the Capitol and all that, and you know, that didn't last very long. Pretty soon it was business as usual. And the impression that I've received is the things that are about to happen are going to be so climactic and so dramatic and so powerful that you're going to hear this phrase. I mean, we've all heard, you know, 100-year flood, 100-year snowstorm. This is going to be, when you start hearing the phrase, 1,000-year snowstorm or 1,000-year flood, you know, if this hasn't happened, you know, probably in 1,000 years, that will be the sign that these things have come from God. And it will.
That's interesting that you'd say that. Pardon me for interrupting you, but I have noticed in my lifetime, particularly in the last few years, no, more recently than that, in the last 2 years, maybe, the weather is dominating the news. Even the national news are opening with these catastrophic weather stories. So,
that's right.
So you're saying your message from God is, if we start hearing about 1,000-year floods rather than 100-year floods, I live in North Carolina, and I don't know if you've ever looked at North Carolina on the map, but North Carolina has a nose sticking out, and hurricanes love that nose.
Yeah, it does.
So every hurricane that comes along the East Coast, we end up getting some remnant of that. And just a quick aside, as a pastor in churches, you know, at first I started, when I first was encountering from the pulpit, praying for relief from the hurricanes, I prayed that the hurricane did not hit our community. But, you know, I soon became to realize hurricanes are so big that it's going to hit somebody.
Yeah.
So I can't pray that. I pray that we be able to weather the storm. Now, if this great storm is coming upon Christianity, do you think Christianity can weather the great storm?
That's a good question. There will be, you know, as the Lord showed me, it rains both on the just and the unjust. There were righteous people in Israel when he dispersed them abroad and allowed the Babylonians and all them to run them out. So, yes, the true born-again Christians, they may suffer loss. They may suffer loss of life. But to be, you know, to die here, it's immediate entrance into the kingdom of heaven and into the presence of God. But, you know.
But the church, will the church weather the storm?
The church itself? No.
That's not a good
no, because
prophecy.
Today's church is just, you know, it's all about the me movement, I guess you could say. Me, 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 get, you know, as we talked about before. Not every single church, don't get me wrong, you know, there'll be small cliques here and there that are focused on serving the Lord, but the American church as a whole, I believe, is lost. And that's just my opinion. But that's
well, let's kick over to the Isaiah passage, if you don't mind, and I want to read, obviously not the whole chapter, but there's two different little, one's two verses, and then the last one I'll read's one verse, but this really highlights what you're saying. This is, and remember, this is messages from Jesus. I want people to clearly understand. If they read about me and they'll read about the dazzling light and seeing God speak from the fiery cloud and all that stuff, they'd realize there's something different about this guy. I mean, he really does have these experiences. So this passage, Isaiah 29, and I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. The Lord said, "These people claim to worship me, but their words are meaningless,
yep. And
their hearts are somewhere else. Their religion is nothing but human rules and traditions which they have simply memorized. So I will startle them with one unexpected blow after another. Those who are wise will turn out to be fools, and all their cleverness will be useless."
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. And, you know, that goes back to, you know, what the Lord had shown me. I'm pulling it up here so I can just look at it. Hopefully I don't. There it goes. Okay. You know, God's basically has said, you know, you left your first love. You left me. You want to divorce yourself from me. You want out of this relationship. Have the desires of your heart, for the time has now come, the time when the judgment's about to begin. And then later on it says, you're going to, you know, call upon me, but I'm not going to listen. You know, you'll pray to me, but I won't hear. You know, it's a very tragic position that the, and again, we've talked about this before, this is the church's fault. This is the pastor's fault.
Well, I love, you know, I keep going back to what you told me, that you have not laid this problem at the feet of the politicians, but on the steps of the church.
Exactly. Yep, that's right.
The church will not stand up for Jesus Christ.
Nope.
It's bowing down to the idols that have been created in this nation. And I want to share a little personal theology with you and with your listeners. And it revolves around the word righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, in my years of studying and preaching and teaching and all those wonderful things you listed that I've done in the past, I finally came to realize that righteousness goes with the word you just used, relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a righteous relationship with God, we have a right relationship where we love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. Mm-hmm. If we have a righteous relationship with ourselves, we love ourselves. If we have a righteous relationship with other people, we love other people. But in listening to you talk, I realized that we do not have a righteous relationship with God anymore, because we don't love God with all our heart, all our soul,
right. All
our mind, all our strength. More likely than not, we're back to the Matthew passage, either love God or money. We love money.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look, and I'm sorry to get on this pedestal again and preach this sermon, but when did being a church pastor become a career to create a wonderful income, a great retirement, and then, you know, have all the luxuries of this life? But as I said in one of the messages, are they going to die in the waiting arms of Satan or there? Mm-hmm. But I want us to look at this next little passage in Isaiah. And you know me, it's got to be 19, and this is verse number 19. You know how all my life seems to revolve around 9, 19, 9. I don't even know if you've noticed. Have you noticed what my area code is on my phone number?
Yep, 919.
919. that's no accident. I don't know how God arranged all that, but that's no accident. But I did something here over Isaiah 29:19, I've never done. I wrote in my Bible, in ink, I never do that. I make pencil notes in the margin some, but I wrote over the words there, over the words in the Bible, Jesus' sermon title, Open Doors. Because we forgot Jesus came for the lost. Mm-hmm. Jesus came for the downtrodden. Jesus came for the prostitute and the tax collector. And in this passage, it reads, poor and humble people will once again find the happiness which the Lord, the God of Israel, gives. Pastor Bob, Jesus wants to preach to these poor and humble people again. He wants to save lost souls. Amen. He wants people to be born again. And he wants us, people that have been born again like you and me, he wants us to demonstrate a living faith. He is looking for us to be the example. Every pastor in every pulpit, every person working in the Christian industry, and it's so large, needs to turn from that desire to earn a paycheck, turn around, repent, turn towards Christ, and be a demonstration of the living faith of Jesus Christ at work in the world. Pastor Bob, what would happen to America if the thousands and thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, of people who earned a paycheck because of the sacrifice and the suffering and the redemption that they received from Jesus Christ, if they all turned away from the world and turned towards heaven and demonstrating a living faith in Jesus Christ every day, what would happen to this country if that happened?
Oh, and start to turn around. That's what happened. I have a question for you. Now, you said that the Lord has told you strengthen what remains and to remember the Father's holy word. That kind of goes right into what you're saying, you know, those that remain. Now, you know, how do you interpret?
Are we down to a remnant? I mean, Christianity down to a remnant?
That's it. I think that's the word that sums it up right there. Especially here in the United States, there is no longer the massive support for Christianity. Now we are a remnant.
Oh, maybe we are. You know, in preparing for our talk today, and I want to close with a little American Christianity. Let me reverse that. The way I look at you and I, we are Christians living in America, okay? We could be Christians living in France, or we could be Christians living in Germany or Venezuela, but we're not.
Right.
We're Christians living in America, so we have to be an example of Christians living in America. And I've got it here in front of me. I have just been obsessed in getting ready for today with the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still. Mm-hmm. Because Christianity is a family religion that's passed from one generation to the next. Mothers and fathers to sons and daughters. And that hymn, and I'm going to try to sing just a couple of bars of it. Just to get us a feel. Faith for our fathers living still, we will be true to thee till death. And I want to read the third verse just to show you the correlation between the importance of Christianity in America. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the faith that comes from God, mankind shall then be free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget that the hand of God was at work in this world, in this country, through the people of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. That phrase, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, that was no accident.
Right.
God was creating a nation based on freedom. Every time I've traveled in other parts of the world, when I get back, I drop to the ground in the airport, whether it's Dulles or LaGuardia or wherever, and I kiss the ground, and I'm thankful for the freedom to be an American. And God was at work in the world between these two men. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you know all of this, but it's such a great story about how their faith and how God led them to pen this nation. You know, they lived on opposite hills in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Adams on one hill and Jefferson on the other, and You can actually see Adams's house from Monticello, where Jefferson lived. And I may have told you some in the past, but anything that I've had in my life that I feel is a sign from God, I always look at what happens afterwards. Mm-hmm. Just to get that confirmation that this is the real deal. And you may already know this, but if you don't, and anybody listening, this is a remarkable confirmation of these two men. They both died July the 4th, yep. 1826. God was confirming, I brought freedom to this country. And I think we're losing that freedom today. I think there's something happening that it's either intentional or unintentional, and it may be the complacency of the people in the pews, it may be the career-mindedness of the people in the pulpits, but we are losing freedom to be Christians,
yep.
because it's changing here in this country.
That's right.
And you know, when I look at this hymn, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still, that faith has to live through me. That faith has to live through you. That faith has to live through every person in every pew and every pulpit in every church who sings this hymn or any other hymn.
Amen.
We have to go back out into the world like to do the David Ruiz, that the rule and reign of heaven breaks through into worship. That God is here and we'll never be the same. And then we go back out into the streets of America and we bring God back to life so that Jesus can once again go into the churches here.
Yep. Let's get ready to close.
Now that, this hymn closes, Faith of Our Fathers, Holy Faith, we will be true to thee till death does not affect us anymore, Pastor Bob. Mm-hmm. Till we see Jesus face to face in heaven.
Yep. Amen.
You see, as Christians, we've got to let people know what you get as a Christian. You're not set free from the shackles of slavery. You're not set free from the burdens of an unfair economy. You're not set free from the tribulations of society. You're set free. We're set free from our own sins.
Yep.
Amen. And there is no death for us.
Yep.
There's only life.
Let me ask
in
you this.
Jesus Christ.
Do you see the
faith of our fathers living still?
We have to get ready to close here in just a couple minutes. Let me ask you this question. Do you see the United States of America as a modern day, basically Jezebel in the eyes of the kingdom of God?
The closest comparison I can draw with the United States of America is two. The three greatest nations ever in the history of mankind were Rome. Rome was the greatest nation that ever lived, that ever existed. I mean, in the era that I was there with Jesus, Rome ruled everywhere. I mean, Rome ruled the whole world. And it was a very oppressive. Romans were cruel. I mean, there's no question, nothing ever equaled the cruelty of Rome, but they ruled the world. But you know, and a couple of the signs that came along was the predominance of abnormal sexual relationships, an overemphasis of self. And guess what? The Roman Empire fell.
Yep.
Okay, the next greatest empire ever in the history of humanity was the British Empire. They went to all four corners of the earth. They had nations all around the world. And probably the British Empire saved the world. And I don't know if you've seen the movie The Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
And it's a movie about Winston Churchill. And there's a scene in the movie where King George, who did not like Winston Churchill, they did not like each other. And Churchill was always drunk, always drinking. He was sitting on the side of the bed. There was a knock on the door in his bedroom. He was drunk. His wife said, "You have a visitor." And it was King George. And the rest of Parliament wanted to compromise with Hitler. But King George looked Winston Churchill in the eye and he said, "Fight them. Do not let this tyrant rule the world, even if it means we all die. Fight them." And they stood up, King George and Winston Churchill, two men in that room, stood up against tyranny. And the world was never the same.
Right.
But what if they would have succumbed? What if they would have succumbed to compromise and giving in
Amen.
But they didn't. Well, America, Pastor Bob, is at that threshold now.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to be given the question, but somebody's going to be given the question, do you want to stand up for freedom
Amen.
Of the people that live here, or do you want to succumb to the economic desires that press the people to the grindstone and make them end up with thousands of dollars in credit card debt? The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer every day. The difference in my career since 1975 to today between the earnings of the top and the earnings of the bottom is astronomical.
Amen.
The growth difference in those two groups of people.
Yep. Amen.
Now, is anybody going to stand up in today and say, for the common man and the common woman to be free, they have to be free from the shackles that we have bound them with?
Amen. Well, John.
And if they can't set the common man free, then I know this is going to come right out the wall for you. We owe China so much money.
Mm-hmm.
We are in so much debt to China. All they have to do is say, repay today, and we'll say, we can't. Then they'll say, well, we're coming to take your nation.
Yep.
It's that bad.
Yep. Amen. That's true. We've been talking about that for years. But you know, as we get ready to close, John, there's only one cure, really, for all the troubles plaguing America right now.
It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's not one political party over another. It's not one individual politician over another. It's not even one denomination or even one church over another. The only cure is to repent on an individual basis and as a nation. I mean, think about this, folks. If you repent and receive the forgiveness of your sins, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then share what just happened to you with someone else and encourage them to do the same, then that person does that, and so on and so on. We can change this nation. Amen? John, I want to thank you for
Amen.
All that you've shared.
But today. First, we've got to change yourselves.
Yeah,
and first,
exactly.
And next, we have to change the church.
Yep, amen. And I want to thank you for all that you shared today. Every time we talk, it seems like we just could go on and on and on, but we've run out of time for today. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with you if they have any questions, or maybe someone wants to do an interview.
Well, the best way is at my website, dazzlinglight.org. My email address is there, but a good friend, I reacquainted with him the other day, and he and his wife are very stalwart Christians. And I told them, go to this website. There's hours and hours and hours worth of stuff to read and listen to and Bible studies to do. And, you know, if all the work I do there can enrich one Christian's life, then it's worth it all.
Amen.
All the technology that the Lord keeps making me learn is all there in that website.
Amen.
And please, I want people to go there and to be blessed.
Amen. Well, I look forward to our next conversation. What's the topic of the next conversation going to be?
We're on your topic, and this the next one will be our last interview, and we're going to be talking about seeking the lost for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Folks, there you have it. Now, as Deuteronomy 30:19 clearly says, the Lord our God has placed the choice into your hands. He's placed
Amen.
Before us only two choices, life or death, blessing or cursing. Then he tells you which one to choose. He says, choose life. He's not going to force you to choose him. He will not force you to give up your sinful life. But the day will soon be here when all opportunities to make a choice will no longer be available. As I've said many times before, failure to choose is a choice, and it's the wrong choice. Much like a multiple choice test in school, you can choose option A or option B. If you just leave it blank, thinking, well, I'll get to that question later, and time for taking the test runs out, you get the answer wrong automatically. And on this particular question, getting it wrong is an eternal failure. But getting it right means eternal life. Go to John's website, dazzlinglight.com. Take a look around. Email John. Ask questions. Let's get the question right. But John, I just thank you again for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today, man. I appreciate it, brother.
Oh, it's always a blessing. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit as much as I was since the last time I talked to you. And I'm sure the next time I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit again.
Amen.
And I thank you for that.
Not a problem. Well, for John, Meacham, and myself, this is Pastor Bob Tiller reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.